it was more so like I was doing the work of outside of making saves, but I was getting interceptions. I was clearing the ball well. I was directing my defense well. The save, making the saves is, yes, a big part of it, but there are also these tiny little pieces that you need to like keep in the back of your head that you also need to do well at.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, it is my job to track down the best goalies, best coaches, best trainers in our sport, interview them, find out what makes them so great. What are the mindsets that they have? How do they think about this position? What are some things that they can teach us that make your lacrosse goalie game better? I love to hear stories of young goalies hearing some of these interviews, using those tips, and going out there and crushing it. It is awesome to me. My guest on the show this week is Amelia Cole. She graduated in 2021, where she was the Big East Goalkeeper of the Year for the Denver Pioneers. Also Big East First Team, Big East Defensive Player of the Week a couple weeks. Great goalie for the Pios. Awesome interview with this young lady. You're going to enjoy it. So ladies and gentlemen, here is Amelia Cole. This episode is brought to you by the Tillman Johnson Virtual Goalie Coaching Minicamp. What if I told you you could get live goalie coaching from one of the greatest goalies to ever play this game? That sounds pretty good, right? Well, in this training camp, it is possible. I was able to track down the GOAT, Tillman Johnson, and he put together a coaching presentation that is insanely good. I mean, this presentation, it might as well be called Lacrosse Goalie 101 because he breaks down the fundamentals, all the fundamentals that he learned, the fundamentals that he used to win that 2003 national championship, and the fundamentals that he uses to coach Division I caliber goalies. And he breaks down those fundamentals in a way that I've never seen any goalie coach do it. He talks about the theory, bullet points about the theory. He shows you slow motion video explaining that technique, annotating that technique, and then you get to see Tillman executing that technique in a game. Plus, we did it live, so folks are asking a bunch of tons of great questions to clarify. If you're a youth goalie or a goalie mom or dad or a coach, this training is really a must to learn about the goalie position from one of the legends. It's really amazing stuff. And the best part is this. We did it as a fundraiser for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. So purchases of the Tillman Johnson Virtual Coaching Minicamp, they go right to benefit that cause, okay? Tickets are just $49. So for all of Tillman Johnson's knowledge, $49. That's an insane value. And if you're ready to get some elite coaching, head over to laxgoalierat.com/Tillman. It's laxgoalierat.com/Tillman. One more time, laxgoalierat.com/Tillman. Enjoy the show. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show my next guest, recent Denver grad, actually still in grad school. It's Amelia Cole. Amelia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, so am I. This is going to be great. I always like to start at the very beginning. Do you remember little Amelia when she first jumped into goal and that story?
Yeah. So my older sister, Olivia, she played lacrosse at University of Florida, but she picked up lacrosse way before I did. She's 3 years older than I am. And I remember her being like a big inspiration for me. And I wanted to be like my big sister. And so I started going to these clinics. I'm from Alexandria, Virginia. So I went to these clinics, like I could walk to them from my house, which was great. Mm-hmm. And at first I was just like doing like field like any other kid. And then I was like, you know, like I would want to do goalie like my sister. And so they kind of just threw me in one time and I played club lacrosse, rec lacrosse for ALC. And then it went on to like playing for Cardinal and then eventually for Stars Lacrosse Club and then for Capital, which is where I got recruited from.
Nice. Normally when lacrosse players have an older sibling, and they want somebody to shoot on if they're not a goalie, or if they are a goalie, they want someone to shoot on them. So it's rare to have two goalies in one family in my experience. But you saw her playing and you're like, that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. And I felt like it was such a community, and growing up, I was really wanting to make more friends. Mm-hmm. And so I saw lacrosse as this outlet of where I can have fun. I can make friends that I didn't go to the same school as, and also get to do a sport that not a lot of people really knew about growing up. I think I started playing lacrosse in the fourth grade. I had the softball shin pads that covered your knees and everything. And this really old Cascade helmet that had the dangly throat protector. And pictures of me were hilarious.
Yeah. That's funny. It's always funny to look back at the old lacrosse gear. Mm-hmm. And you're a lot younger than me. So I'm 41. And when I played in 2000, the gear was even more old, which is pretty funny. Good point about lacrosse and the community. Cause I played a lot of sports, growing up, soccer, basketball, baseball, wrestling, tennis, and mm-hmm. more than any other sport, to me, lacrosse, and especially the goalies, but zooming out, lacrosse has this sense of community that I didn't find in any other sports. And I really love that. And have you played other sports? Have you found the same?
Yeah. So, I played peewee soccer mm-hmm. and I played volleyball in middle school just for, again, another rec league. And I tried out for my volleyball team when I was in high school and I sprained my ankle, the first set of our first game. I was on the freshman volleyball team and it was 6 days before Capital tryouts for the club team that I was going for, which was one of the bigger ones, the best ones in my area at the time. And I remember being so devastated because I was I'm hurting myself in a sport that I really don't have the same love for as I do for lacrosse. And so I ended up trying out on a sprained ankle my freshman year. I was in a boot right before and then put my cleats on, uh-huh. got my ankle wrapped and everything. And I ended up making the A team, which was really awesome. But I remember I rode crew in middle school. They wanted me to do it at Ireton, which is where I went to high school. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't feel the same passion as I've always had for lacrosse. And I wasn't as good as good at any of the rest of them as I was at lacrosse as well.
Yeah. When you think about all the things about goalie, what would you say is your favorite thing about being a lacrosse goalie?
I would say definitely being deemed as the weird one on the team. Going to goalie camps and everything and telling my other teammates oh yeah, I went to this camp this weekend. But meeting the people and all sharing the same love for the sport has really brought goalies together, I think. And there's just a certain connection where you feel with someone where you're we're on the same page of what our job is and everything. And mm-hmm. I think that being the weird one on the team was never the bad thing. It built this sort of aura that we have to build up our teammates, whether that be the defense, whether that be the people on the attack, the attackers on the other end of the field. Our job is to really be the backbone. And I think that I really I really felt that going into my senior year. I knew where my senior year, it's the first time that I started, but I think going into my senior year, I knew I had to be the one to build my team up and be the one to support them, whether we were down by 10, whether that be the Northwestern game. I was still having the best time in my life mm-hmm. up until that buzzer. That was the moment where I felt, okay, I knew my purpose on this team and it was to build everyone up around me.
Love it. We are the weird ones. Embrace it.
Yeah, we are.
Embrace it. I never felt like the weird one on any other team. And then, you know, and then you play goalie and, you know, it's like you start to realize you really do have to have like a little bit of a screw loose to just not flinch. And like, not only that, throw that all out to like attack the ball, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it goes against every human instinct that we have. So, you know, in that way, we are a little bit weird. So then, you know, you I guess you start playing fourth grade, you're playing in the field, you want to give goalie a try. How do you go about learning how to make saves? Is that kind of your sister Olivia showing you the ropes?
It honestly all really came down to camps. Like camps. I was really like thankful to be like living in an area in like right outside of DC, so close to Maryland, where I was able to go to camps such as like Bill Pilot in Roanoke and Between the Pipes in Baltimore. And those were like some of the two, like Between the Pipes really built the foundation for me. And, you know, like my coaches at the time when I was that young, like they really didn't have much of goalie experience, but it was just like getting shots and practice, like setting time aside for me to just like get better, work myself, and like really start to become the goalie that I was.
Yeah. Love it. And such a fortunate situation. If you can, you know, all goalies should attend those camps. I mean, I think the level of learning just goes, you know, way exponential when you go to a camp. And correct me if I'm wrong, but after you leave that camp, are you not like the most inspired you've ever been?
I can't correct you. That was amazing. Yeah, definitely. And so much so that I like went back and helped coach one of their winter clinics and a summer camp at Between the Pipes. I love passing down that knowledge that I was like, you know, taught growing up and got me to the place where I am. And I wouldn't be there without going to those camps, and was so thankful again to my parents for bussing me and my sister out there.
Yeah. I love it. I don't know if I've heard of Between the Pipes. Maybe I have. What, do you know who runs it? Who are the coaches, or how do I get a hold of these guys?
So it's a former, USA lacrosse goalie. Her name is Megan Huther. She was a huge inspiration, knew her from the beginning, but she runs it now. And I believe it still goes by the same Between the Pipes, but
cool.
Haven't really reached out to her in a while, but
I will. I will. We'll get her on the show. I had Definitely. Bill Pilot on the show. A while ago. He's great. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And he's probably coached more, I mean, maybe not directly, but indirectly coached more lacrosse goalies than anybody on the history of the earth. Cause he's just been doing that camp for a long time. Which is great.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So when we think about like your style of play, you know, a lot of goalies play a little bit differently, depending upon their size, depending upon their strengths or weaknesses for that matter. You know, when you think about like your stance and your arc and your overall style, like how do you describe that?
Yeah. So I would say that I definitely tried to use my height to an advantage, but my stance was really like bent over. I'm 5'10". So I was like almost the height of the goal, probably the height of the goal with my helmet.
Cleats.
But I would always keep my thumb level with my eye, right behind the screw of my head, and just trying to keep that even with the ball and really just like keeping that to where I can track the ball easily and exploding out. And I know like for my arc, I would play kind of all over the place, mm-hmm. whether that I was very an unhinged goalie. Like I would get these like habits and stick with them, or my coaches at DU would try different things with me. And by the end of my senior year of college, it really was, I was playing at a higher position when it came to 8 meters. But when they were coming around the goal, it would be like I would almost stay back a little and mm-hmm. then explode to the ball, like on crease rolls, or whether if they were coming in closer. And that way I can take up more space at the last second, kind of like throw them off their game and then attack the ball from there.
Yeah. Love it. And yeah, that is bigger. That is a bit bigger, taller on the women's side, 5'10". But it's great. Like you got to use your goalies can be my height, shorter. I'm 5'8". Like, so that's shorter mm-hmm. for the men's game. I mean, I've had goalies, Meg Taylor, and you look at some of those 5'2", 5'3" goalies that anybody can have success, but that's cool that you're able to use your positioning. And so the top hand positioning, let me grab my stick real quick.
Okay.
Super, super interesting. Cause I'm always very interested in the differences of this. So you were saying you would actually, when you would grip the top, the thumb would be like behind the plastic like this. And what advantage was that, just merely protection, or did you find you made saves better like that?
I don't know. It was just, again, something I learned from camp, just stuck with me my entire life. Mm-hmm. And it was always, like, I exploded to the ball a lot better, I think, with it. Especially like it would protect like my dominant thumb. The only time I ever broke my thumb was on my left hand. And it was like a weird freak thing, like in high school.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it would protect my dominant thumb, but also like it gave me a lot more like power to push across my body, whether it be getting to the ball, or getting down lower and like pushing my arm, like almost underneath myself.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I was watching some tape of some of your saves, which I love to do before these podcasts. And one of the things I noticed too, is you're really, the head would really get behind the shot. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something that you specifically work on, or talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that's probably been something that I've been working on my entire life. I remember, again, having my thumb behind my screw, but having a lanyard that like an STX lanyard clipped to the head of my helmet, like the very tip, and looping it underneath my stick. And that way I always brought my head to the ball. Mm-hmm. It was something that like, I could like keep track of it. And I knew like, it's always hands, head, or like head, hands, ball. That's what I was always taught. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was something that, just so I can keep my eye on it and like know where I'm going and really follow through and get my body there behind the ball as well.
Yeah. I do find that when goalies say like, hey, I'm having trouble tracking the ball, that is something they should try, is really getting that head behind the shot. And then on low shots, really like lowering your level and not so much like getting your head behind it, cause that would be kind of tricky, but like getting your body down, you know, knees are bending, hips are bending, as opposed to just staying upright and lowering your stick. So really, really let's try that out in terms of tracking. Piece of advice there. All right. So at a certain point in high school, you start to get pretty good at making saves, I imagine. I think you mentioned, did you say you only started your senior year?
I was talking about college.
Got it.
So my freshman year, my older sister, Olivia, was the starting goalie. She was a senior at the time. So I was what my coach called like a bubble player. So I would shift in between JV, sometimes varsity. But I remember probably the time where I felt like the most confident in myself was my freshman year when we were playing our state championship game. I made like a huge save against one of their top players on the opposing team and like went in for relief for my sister before that. But I remember like being like, okay, like I can do this thing. Like I can actually get good and I can, you know, be a goalie and be a good one that leads the team and comes up with these saves to like help my team. And we ended up winning, which was amazing. And like, I think we won by one. So
nice.
But my sophomore to senior year, I was a starter for every varsity game. And we won, I think, conference championship my sophomore year, state championship my junior year, and then both my senior year.
Not bad.
Yeah. So
not bad. Yeah, that's yeah, awesome.
It was a great ride.
Was it a great team or just a great goalie?
Yeah, I had a great team. My team was constantly ranked like in the top 10 for mm-hmm. girls high school. I went to Bishop Ireton High School in Alexandria. Super small Catholic school, great women's lacrosse team. Wow. We had a great coach, Rick Sofield, who played at Harvard, both football and lacrosse. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you.
Cool. And then, you know, how did Denver come into play, and you know, what was kind of your recruiting experience and why did you decide to go there?
Yeah. So recruiting was hard, I would say. It started my summer going into my sophomore year of high school. So I was super young, didn't really know what I wanted in a college, hadn't like really thought about college until my club team was like, you need to start looking into all of these places and everything. So I was constantly sending email and everything, whether it to be like to Vanderbilt, to Duke, to Northwestern, and like all of these like schools that I thought like I would want to play there. Like they're great at lacrosse, they're great schools. And I didn't even know DU had a women's lacrosse team until they reached out to me. It was Lauren Benner, who was a former fifth year at DU and then assistant coach at the time. They came to see me at President's Cup my sophomore year. Going into my sophomore year in Florida, big, big tournament in Orlando. And from there, they invited me out on an unofficial visit. And I remember crying on my way home, being like, Mom, I want to go to school at DU. Like, this is the place for me. The mountains are gorgeous. I'd been to Vail, but like never really Denver. Uh-huh. And I was like, the coaches are amazing. And I know they tell you not to pick for like the coaches, what school you're going to, but I wouldn't want it any other way. Liza is just like a mom to our team. And I had heard nothing but amazing stories about her. And so I was like very blessed to be able to like be reached out by her after doing my research more. And so I committed the fall of my sophomore year of high school to DU and never looked back.
Nice. Yeah. Why do they tell you not to pick a university based on the coaches? Just because they might change?
Yeah, definitely. But I kind of knew like with Liza, and hearing stories from older girls who had siblings that went to DU, specifically Lane Voorhees, her father talked to my mom about how amazing Liza is. And mm-hmm. Lane's younger sister, Palmer's just a year older than me, played on the same club team from the same hometown. And just, you know, hearing these stories about how great Liza is, that she has roots in Denver. She always mm-hmm. tries to recruit at least one girl from Denver in each class, just to keep the program like in Colorado as well. She has two amazing children and her husband, they live in Parker and they're doing like amazing. And so I'm like, why wouldn't I want to go to a school that has a great head coach that really doesn't look like she has any plans of leaving or changing schools?
Right.
And, you know, like I was very fortunate that she stayed all 4 years and like through my high school experience and stuff. So,
yeah, like it has to be one of the ingredients in the equation because you're going to spend so much time with them, yeah, assuming they stay. But yeah, I mean, I kind of get the idea of like, if you're only going for this coach and then they leave, like, okay. But yeah. All right, cool. I get it. So when you get to Denver, you know, did your goalie game change up? A lot of times goalies talk about like the game's just so much faster because the girls or the guys are a lot better and, you know, whereas on your high school team, like maybe you had two or three girls that could really shoot in that upper percentile. Like now when you get to college, like all the girls can rip it. So did your goalie game change is the question?
Yeah, definitely. I really had to adjust to how fast the college game was. I specifically remember being my first practice and being like, oh shit, like I really have a big storm coming if I think that I was good in high school and now I can like live up to everything in college. And I remember in high school, I was really trying to be like the fundamental like goalie. I was trying to do everything like textbook and like by like how I'd always been taught and not really changing and kind of keeping it to myself. And like in college, they were just like, I want you to try this, 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 and this. And I was like, oh, okay. Like very overwhelmed freshman. And I eventually started like going to my knee for ground ball saves and low shots and stuff. And that helped my game tremendously because my legs are so long. Like, why not, you know, take off going with all of that? So.
Sorry. So you started going down to your knees. Interesting. Yeah. Cause a lot of goalies, there's kind of a debate in the lacrosse goalie community of like, do you drop to your knees or do you stay on your feet? I was on the stay on your feet camp. I still am. But I know like a lot of very well-respected goalie coaches who teach the knees, a lot of pros drop to their knees. So, you know, I think I'm fine with either, but you didn't do that in high school and then started seeing some success in college with that approach, which is interesting. Yeah.
So at first it was more so like more of a lunge, like going forward to the ball.
Yeah.
And like having my back knee down. So my front knee was up and then my back knee down. So I was like in a lunge position with my hands out going to the ball.
Yeah.
And then eventually it just kind of morphed into, and I credit my the goalie below me, her name's Chloe Lewis. She's a senior now at DU. She grew up playing hockey. So I saw her going like side to side and it was kind of like a lunge on one side. And then the other knee is like down. My hips were very sore after each practice, but I remember making like such good saves after this, like, you know, really getting to the ball. And my goalie coach, who's still the goalie coach at DU, Brittany Reed, she would just constantly work on this with me in individuals after practice all the time, really like drilling it into me. Like, if you're going to go to your knee, you need to be able to get up and get like, in case there's a rebound, and get the high shot. So she would throw like one low shot at me and I would go to one knee on like my left side. And then immediately have to spring up and get that high shot.
That's good. It's good conditioning as well. And, you know, in addition to that, it's great. That's a great exercise. I follow goalies of all sports and it sounds like they do a lot of that in soccer, you know, where like you're like diving and then you immediately get up and make another save. So yeah, great exercises. That style that you talked about, I guess your high school style, was exactly mine because I wrestled in high school. Like that was my main sport. And like that movement is like, it's a wrestling move where you like shoot in and you kind of like lunge in and do this high C. And so it like, I knew that move already from wrestling. And so I'm like, oh, that's the low save. Right. So it's kind of interesting. Did you play, you played other sports? Yeah. Did you take anything from those sports and kind of bring it into your game?
You know, I would say not really because none of those sports really stuck with me. If anything, like crew is the one that got me in the most shape. Like I'd go from rowing practice to lacrosse practice, all during the spring of my eighth grade middle school year. And then freshman year, I tried volleyball, but I was just like, maybe, I don't know. I don't really think so, but
fair enough. I'm sure it does. Cause just being out there, like, and playing a sport, I mean, you're like, you know, you're tracking the ball, you're, or if there is a ball, you're seeing things around you, processing information. mm-hmm. All that good stuff. You're being with the team, right? So there's all these team, yeah. these team elements. So, speaking of that, would you call yourself, a leader of the team, of the Denver team when you played with them?
I would say that I really didn't fall into like my leader shoes, until I starting my senior year. I was really lost like my freshman and junior year, like right before COVID hit, that like short little period where we had a season. I wasn't really doing well. I was in my head a lot as a goalie. In my freshman year, I was actually ineligible for half of the season because I didn't do well in one of my classes my fall semester. And so I had like a lot of learning to do. And I really wanted to like prove myself to Liza, prove myself to my defense and my whole team that like I can do this. And it really came from directing my teammates, whether it be in the weight room, whether that be like on the field during drills or in games, like directing my defense, really like demanding them. We played a very intense defense zone called Hot Pink at DU. And it, you know, it really called for a lot from the goalies. Like we had to be on our toes at all times because our defense was flying around. I needed to tell them where Chew was. I needed to tell them where the ball was, asking the crease defenders a lot of themselves. And I really found that I did that so well my senior year. Mm.
What do you think? Why?
Just because I found the confidence, you know. Knew that I'm the senior goalie. I need to, you know, put my foot down, be like, no, I'm starting this year. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like I had to start telling myself like to have the confidence and to be that goalie that like no one wanted in the cage on the other team because they're like, we're not gonna do well. And like I had a certain spark with my teammates that did play defense. And we had a connection off the field as good friends, and they trusted me in goal simultaneously. And it just built up the stamina where I was able to hype them up, whether it just be because I got scored on and I'm like laughing. I'm like, oh crap. Like I just got scored on. Sorry about that. But like, this is what we need to do next and let's do that better. And then it would happen. And I really credit that to the goalie that was the year above me, Carson Gregg, because I saw her connection with the defense that we had when she was a starter while I was there. And I was like, I need to be a leader on the field and off the field. And Carson is a great example of that.
Love it. That's awesome. What would you say to a young goalie, 12 years old, 13-year-old girl, you know, who is a little bit timid out there on the field, or she feels like when she says something, none of her defense is listening? What advice would you give to that goalie?
I would say just have fun with it. Like that's kind of how I gained my confidence my senior year when I started. And like, I felt that way even in college. Like I felt like my defense didn't listen to me or they didn't want me in the goal for specific drills or something like that because I didn't feel confident in myself. And if you start having fun with it and you let your teammates see that, you know, like this is a really amazing sport that you have this opportunity to play and like you're doing the best that you can while simultaneously like not getting in your head, but like just goofing around, and then what you start to say is going to matter. That's kind of the experience that I had. Like I was the absolute nut job my senior year, like laughing and like talking smack to the other opponents and stuff. And just really having the girls see that if I'm not worried, you should not be worried.
Yeah. 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 A lot of that kind of lead by example is just so, mm-hmm. it's so true. It's like, if you're, like you said, if you're not worried, like, why would they be worried? If you're working hard, like, then it's going to encourage them to work hard. If you're, you know, so yeah, I think that even if you don't have a loud voice, like, your actions and how you act on and off the field really, really matter and can really be influential in terms of leadership.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, you talked a little bit about the head game, which is a nice transition into the mental game, which, you know, such a mentally tough position, right? I'm curious, when you give up a goal, you know, what goes through your head? Is there some sort of routine you go through, or what are you telling yourself?
Yeah. I really try to treat every game as it's the biggest game in my life. Like, I really try to be super hyped up before that. And I think that one of my better characteristics, especially when I was starting my senior year, like, I tried not to, like, give off negative energy to my other defenders. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, even if I was like, oh crap, like, I really should have had that, like, dang it, you know, like, kind of beating myself down, that would not come out of my mouth. Like, I would go into the huddle, the defensive huddle, right after I got scored, be like, bring it in. Hey, sorry about that. Laugh it off, you know, and be like, what can we do better this time around? Or what can we say to our attackers or the person that's about to take the draw to make them feel like that was nothing to worry about? We have the next one. Mm-hmm. And that was more so like, I have the most horrific laugh and it just makes everyone else laugh around me. And I think just being like loud and proud of like where you are and what you're doing and the fact that like you're living in the moment is what's going to really help you move on to the next shot.
Yeah. How do we hear that laugh on this podcast? Is that
No, I really, it takes a special, like, it's so bad. And my other defender, Kaylee Lammers, she would have the same laugh. And so it would just be bouncing back and forth, whether it be in the middle of like their attack play when we're playing hot pink and I'll be laughing and she'll be laughing, but still doing everything in the game. And it's honestly, it was a special defense and I'm so happy that they're still there and can't wait to watch them again this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was there like, you know, you go into your senior year and like, you haven't started yet. You've gotten a lot of action, right? Like, I mean, you've started games.
I never started my whole college career until our second game of my season, my senior year.
Got it. So you got an action, but not the starter. Are you like, is there a sense of like, wow, this is my last year. Like, this is, you know, this is, I got to do it this year, like putting this additional pressure on yourself going into that final season.
Yeah, definitely. And I knew that I had like great competition behind me, which is like competition, but also like those other goalies, such as Chloe Lewis and Vic Makers, like they are, who's a junior and then senior now. They're my backup. And like, I'm like, I need to like see them as like good competition because, and they were, but I need to like put them as my backup in my head. And that way I can put my foot forward and, you know, like ball out in practice because so when we came back from winter break, my senior year after fall ball and everything, season's about to start. I knew that I wasn't the starter. I knew Vic was, and I was like, how do I, you know, not only get the respect of my defense, but get the respect of myself in order to, you know, make sure that I solidify this starting position. And it all just came down to like one practice after CU, which was like our first game of the season, which we lost. And like, I was like, okay, this is my time. Like if I, you know, like absolutely do amazing and I make every save, and I have fun and I talk to my defense and command them, like my coaches are going to see that and be like, okay, give Amelia a shot. Mm-hmm. And from there, from that point in practice on, I succeeded and I was a starter of every game after that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So interesting. Powerful stuff. Like when you give yourself the permission to like, that's it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm really going for it this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always, it's something I think about a lot because like lacrosse goalies have, you have to mentally, you have to have this, you know, in practice, you have to have this like humility where you're like, I need to get better. I need to get better. Like I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. But then at a certain point, like in the games, you have to have this complete opposite mindset of like, I'm the greatest, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I like this level of confidence that like, whether it's earned or not, whether it's faked or not, you just have to have this like insane level of confidence because then you play way better. So it's just this such an interesting dynamic.
Definitely. Definitely. And I mean, that's not to say that I didn't have days in practice where I absolutely did horrible or games where I didn't, like, I think I made 3 saves in the Big East championship game. Like I did not do well at all, but my teammates knew that I wasn't doing well, but they had enough trust in me to stay in and have my back on the attacking end. Like it was more so like I was doing the work of outside of making saves, but I was getting interceptions. I was clearing the ball well. I was directing my defense well. The save, making the saves is, yes, a big part of it, but there are also these tiny little pieces that you need to like keep in the back of your head that you also need to do well at.
Yeah. And sometimes if you're not making the saves, like even putting a little bit more of an emphasis on those, you know, like you said, can get you out of that slump.
Definitely.
You know, maybe I'm going to pick off a pass. Maybe I'm going to communicate extra loud and, you know, perfect this game. Maybe I'm going to win some ground balls, like, you know, get some hustle plays. Mm-hmm. So, well, your senior year, then, you know, Big East goalie of the year, you know, all first team, you get the extra year because of COVID. There's gotta be a little bit of piece of you that says, I'm going to come back and play one more year, but, you know, you decided not to, and I'd love to hear kind of your thought process behind that.
Yeah. So originally going into the season, I thought about fifth yearing. I was like, I'd really want to do this again. I was looking at, you know, possibly coming back to DU. I'd asked my coach, I was like, what would you think? Like, I have this extra year. Would you want me to come back? Like, I really couldn't see myself going any other place besides DU for another fifth year. I would feel like betrayal to Liza. And she was like, you know, like, I don't know if that, and this is in the beginning, like before season starts or like in the beginning of season. And she was like, you know, I don't know if we're at that place yet where I can make this decision. We would love to help you out looking into other schools and stuff like that, if that's really what you want. But right now we just can't make that decision for our team next year. And I was like, okay, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. Of course I was like hurt because I was like, I really want to come back here.
Yeah.
So I ended up looking into other schools, but I didn't really find one that stuck like DU did. Did some research and everything, got reached out to. I was in the transfer portal for my fifth year. And I just like pretty much ghosted anyone that didn't, that reached out to me. I was like, I just can't commit. Like, you know, I was talking to a school that was like really interested in having me, but I was like, you don't really have a program that I'm looking to do. I want to get my master's in education. And so I was like, you know, I can't do this. I ended up applying to grad school at DU to get, it's called the teacher education program. So you get your master's in elementary education, teacher's license in Colorado in 1 year. And I was like, I got in, got a scholarship to go to grad school back at DU. And I was super thankful and everything. And that was like at the beginning of season, you know, like kind of like in March, I would say. Oh, yeah, March. And then I like started doing really well, consistent, you know, kept up my game. I sprained my ankle right after the Georgetown game and right before the UConn game. And those were like our two biggest like opponents at the time. And I was like, crap, like I'm not going to do well in this UConn game. And I ended up getting like defensive player of the week after our second UConn game. And at the airport, Liza asked me to fifth year at DU. Oh. And I was just like so pumped up about all of this. And, you know, I was like, finally, like I can do this and everything. So I said yes at the airport without even like thinking about the program that I'm going into and how taxing it's going to be. And on top of that, like with 20-hour weeks of lacrosse. And so I said yes, but then after looking at the program, talking to one of my advisors and, you know, like really understanding that I will not have any time for lacrosse if I do this program in 1 year, because at that time I was going to start teaching in schools by the fall. I'd be fully in class on a Monday, and then I would be working in an elementary school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I'd have Friday through Saturday like off, but that would be filled with lacrosse, and like I wouldn't have time for schoolwork and such. So I was like, you know, realistically, this is not going to make sense. And I'm super excited about this program because DU is like top 10 in education in the country. And I got the chance to come back here, but I just can't be on the lacrosse team. And she was like, totally understandable, like totally understandable. She's like, it's not like I'm never going to see you again. You're going to be around campus and such. And so I'm ending up doing the program in 2 years. So I'll do my teaching in school next fall, or yeah, this fall of 2022. And then, yeah, so that's pretty much it. But love it. I was really, really wanting to do it, but there was also a part of me where I was like, you know, how can you beat everything that you did this year, next year? I was like, I know I'm going to have a great team behind my back this year with amazing freshmen coming in, but can you really top Big East Goalie of the Year and first team and all of this stuff? And I was like, I knew I could, but I didn't want to risk it. And I also really wanted to move on and like get a job and go to grad school and really focus on what my career is going to look like.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations. And are you still going to be coaching, or like, is that it? Is Amelia Cole, the goalie, hanging up the cleats?
I don't know. Okay. I feel like I'll probably come back for summer camp for DU.
Yeah.
I still talk to Liza all the time. My roommate's a fifth year, you know. I went to practice like in the fall with them one time because they needed a fourth goalie. but yeah, so I'll still be at every game. Yeah. I don't know about coaching. Maybe if I'm a elementary coach slash teacher. Sure.
Yeah, I love it. I know a lot of high school, huh? You coach, you know. Yeah. Teaching high school. A buddy of mine that played on my team teaches in high school and then coaches the team. So yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting through your story, Amelia. Any other good DU stories we need to know about?
Oh, I don't know. I'm gonna give a shout out to my roommate because she all told right. me to send this to her, but B Barons is definitely one to watch. Preseason All-American. So I'm super pumped for her and I can't wait to watch her on the sidelines this year.
Awesome. What's her name? B Baron?
B Barons, yeah.
B Barons. Love it. All right. Well, we'll be looking out for her. Heard it here first on the Lax Goalie Rap podcast, you know, from here it goes viral. And well, awesome. Amelia, if you had to leave the goalies out there with one final piece of advice, what would that be?
I would say just have fun with it and keep your head up, you know, whether you're faking the confidence or not, let everything that comes out of your mouth be one's words of inspiration. Yeah.
Love it. Very well said. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Denver Pios goalie Amelia Cole, Big East Goalie of the Year. Awesome when you can win that for your conference. I know that's a goal of a lot of collegiate goalies, and she got there last year. Hope you learned a thing or two from Amelia. Hope you're getting out there, getting some work in. It is the first week of March. Lacrosse Goalie Summit 6 is right around the corner. We're going to do that March 28th through April 1st, last week of March. Got some amazing guests that you're going to want to tune into to learn something about lacrosse goalie. If you love this position as much as I do, you'll want to be there. Trust me. GoalieSummit.com. You can get a free ticket. 100% free to attend live. GoalieSummit.com. Check that out. All right. That'll do it this week. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.